whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
1 hour to go. Nick Wilson, JP back on Afternoon Drive. Overtime coming up later tonight as well. But we will get back to Cavs and Thunder coming up in about 20 minutes here. I think there's a big question on tonight's game we haven't gotten to yet as well. We have bandwagons coming up in about 5 to 7 minutes. But listen, we bashed Mel Kiper for a bad Shedeur Sanders take on ESPN Radio. I think this is a good point about why, while he doesn't say the Cleveland Browns here because he's just talking about Minnesota, but it's a nice reminder that while Browns might not be in the playoffs this weekend, this next 2 weekends might be pretty important for the Browns still.
If you look at his grade last year compared to the grades this year of the quarterbacks, he would be the number one guy. He would be ahead of Drew Aller. So, yeah, he would be certainly ahead of Cam and Shedeur. So I think J.J. McCarthy, the decision the Vikings make based on how Sam Darnold plays in the playoffs, will determine J.J. McCarthy's fate. Them only having a first and two fifths may say, hey, if we can get 3 draft picks for J.J. McCarthy, maybe let's do it, assuming Sam plays really well in the playoffs. If he doesn't, then they're obviously keeping J.J. and letting it play out that way. Franchise Sam, keep J.J., move on from there, see how it plays out. But I think J.J. McCarthy's situation is going to be really interesting to see what happens there. Do they keep him or do they trade him?
So I got to be honest with you. I thought at the time, even though I understood the point and thought there was some validity to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lions game was big and Sam Darnold didn't look great in it. If Sam Darnold goes out this weekend and looks really good and the Vikings advance to the second round of the playoffs, that's a good thing for the Cleveland Browns because it might increase the likelihood that J.J. McCarthy is available, and J.J. McCarthy might be a better card to play than just about anything you can get this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes into play. I think the Daniel Jones signing is the biggest reason why there's a lot to this, right? Yeah, the idea that Daniel Jones, they have their backup. If you really want to go through with Sam Darnold, you can just do Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones and then get picks for J.J. McCarthy and call it a day if you're Minnesota.
So did I miss something? Is the Jones contract through next year? I thought it was just through the rest of the regular or the rest of this season.
I mean, you'd have to work out something with Daniel Jones It's not like a far-fetched thing. He's already in the building. He chose you once. Clearly, he feels like that's a place that he can revitalize his career.
But yeah, I mean, and by the way, if Sam Darnold's booty cheeks, that also might be good for Cleveland because it might drive the price down farther on Sam and make him more if the Browns are interested in him. Again, Sam Darnold probably better than most of the rehashed goods, we'll call it, this offseason as well.
What do you think is more likely? Sam Darnold balls out and we're talking about a J.J. McCarthy trade, or Sam Darnold stinks, Vikings don't win, and then people are discussing Sam Darnold to the Browns?
I mean, I think Sam Darnold, unless the Lions game was about nerves, I think Sam Darnold should have a better game against this Rams defense. Do you agree?
Well, he looks so bad. Yeah. There's only one way for him to go up, you know, especially for someone that had been so good. I do wonder, though, as much as I like Kevin O'Connell, and maybe this is me giving Kevin O'Connell so much credit, Sam Darnold, he looked good, but was that a lot of Addison and Justin Jefferson and those receivers and those players there? I don't know. I wonder if it's environment more than it is actually Sam Darnold.
Did you think that before the Lions game?
Yeah.
I did.
I've had that thought all season long.
I asked that because I've thought about that. Propped up because of the situation.
I'm not putting so much stock into the Lions game as that was an eye-opening thing for me. That more just confirmed what I believed the entire time.
So, okay, listen, here's just to counteract that. If they do keep Sam, the one thing I'll say is I think there might be more levels for him to get to because he has not had consistency since New York, and I think he's a guy whose confidence is rattled, and I think a long-term contract and just a second year in Minnesota, the second straight year somewhere where they actually have good coaching, sorry, Carolina, I think that's another thing to kind of play, and I think that's why if he can bounce back. I mean, if he has this game, you're going to ask yourself, does he have the yips all of a sudden? If he looks
lost.
Not even
the yips. Is he just a product of everything around him, and even with that, you can't get it done?
Well, but see, here's the thing. He looked shook in that game against Detroit. At no point did he look like he acclimated to the environment.
He was back to seeing ghosts.
Yeah, that wasn't a talent thing. And I think that's an important thing for him to reclaim the narrative on Sam Darnold is looking like a guy who's not afraid, that everyone in the world is watching every single pass he makes and grading him thus.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure's not going to get any easier in a postseason game.
Yeah. Well, no, that's I think it's going to get amplified. So, I actually think the best thing for Sam might be you just ball out, but you lose. Like, the defense just has a really bad game, which I find hard to believe in this setting. But that you recalibrate your stock and take JJ out of the equation. Because I really do think if Sam really plays well, even in a playoff game, I think, you know what? I think he's got to win. I'm going to rescind that right away.
I mean, if I was
play well and got
to
win.
If I was Kwesi, what I would do is pretty simple. And it's not what anyone that wants to have these conversations wants to hear, because we want to do all the, hey, trade for Sam Darnold or trade for JJ McCarthy. I would franchise tag Sam Darnold, and I would see if he could do it again while keeping JJ McCarthy on the roster. And I'd make Sam Darnold show me why I need to give him a contract that starts with 3, 4, or 5.
All right, guys, we will get back to that whole scenario later this week. But before we get back to the Cavaliers coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to go ahead and throw it to Jake with Bandwagons. This is where Jake feeds us teams, players, pretty much anything. And then when we say whether we're on or off the bandwagon, what you got for us, buddy?
Yeah, let's start with this weekend's game, wild card weekend, of course. Lamar Jackson, his lack of success in the postseason will once again lead to the Ravens' downfall in the playoffs.
Ooh, just for this weekend or in general?
Let's go in general.
Yeah, this is the Cavs argument. If I make it for my own team, I have to make it for him. If I look at the Cavs and say, you've been great the last two regular seasons, but in the playoffs, you've underwhelmed both years. How can we not say that about Lamar? Because here's the problem. It's not even just Lamar. It's not even just in Lamar's head. It's in the Ravens' head. That's why they played against the Chiefs in the AFC title game the way they did, which probably took their chances of winning and cut it in half.
Now, here's the real problem with the conversation, Nick, is that I think Lamar will look much better in the postseason. I think he's going to get that monkey off his back, but he's never going to be able to do it to the way that satisfies people, because do you see who his second-round matchup will be?
Who's that?
It's the Bills. So he's going to beat the Steelers as double-digit favorites, which counts for basically nothing, and then he's going to run into a much better, in my eyes. And listen, the Ravens are good. The Bills are a much better team right now, and I think Josh Allen's hitting another level. And so I think he's going to lose to the Bills, and then the same storylines are going to run through. It won't be fair, because this time it won't be like it was last year, where he ran into the Chiefs in the AFC title game, and the best pass he made the entire game was a pass to himself. I think Lamar will look better, but he's going to lose ultimately to the Bills this next round after he takes care of the Steelers, and the conversation about him crapping the bed in the postseason will still exist.
Well, but what's funny about it is he's gotten over some, like, honestly, just beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, it isn't going to tell you anything. He should beat the Steelers.
Right, your double-digit favorites.
It's the Bills and the Chiefs or one of the elites that he's got to... Or honestly, he's just got to win a damn Super Bowl. Like, we are... It's so funny.
It's
like,
so easy.
Like, we're to where where we are with the Cavs, we're to a different level with Lamar. Like, even beating the Chiefs, yeah, okay, but if you go to the Super Bowl and then lose, it's going to be, well, you still can't win the big game.
No, I think you make it to the Super Bowl and you go through the Bills and the Chiefs to get there, I think the conversation gets erased. I think that will be enough for Lamar Jackson. Getting to the Super Bowl, that'll be enough for him to help wipe away the lack of a big game mentality.
All right, what's next there, Jake?
All right, Jonathan, you mentioned how the Ravens are big favorites over the Steelers this weekend. Other underdogs this weekend, we have the Texans, the Steelers, Broncos, Packers, and Commanders. So there will be at least two upsets in the weekend's NFL wildcard game.
Wait, hold on. Are you going upsets by the Vegas line, or are you going upsets by the seeding?
By the Vegas line.
Okay, yeah, because like, all right. I think the Commanders can beat the Buccaneers. I got a take on that coming up in the upcoming days and the importance of that game. I do think the Commanders can beat the Buccaneers. I would put that on the table. As far as Vegas is concerned, they think the Vikings and the Rams are essentially a coin flip, Nick. Like, that's a 1-point favorite by the Vikings, which I think is, yeah, based off our conversation we just had, I would imagine you think that's a little bananas.
Yeah, I think there's one real potential team on upset alert. Actually, no, it's two. It's Baltimore, because it's the Ravens-Steelers game. I think they should win, but I'm not certain they can just because of that rivalry. And then Packers-Eagles. I think that's the only one that this could be really disastrous for Nick Sirianni to lose this game. So I'm going to say I'm going to say I'm not on the bandwagon.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely off of it because I can't find two games.
Because I can only find two games that might, and I'm not confident in my conviction. I think I'm most confident that the Packers can upset the Eagles.
It would not surprise me if the Rams beat the Vikings. It would not surprise me. I think that's the only game that I would leave with a not surprise.
It's so funny. To me, that's like, because it's a one-point game,
it's basically a pick 'em.
Is that even a... Is it even an upset?
I know, but if you take it into broad NFL terms, it's a 14. That's a 14 win team there being taken down by a Rams team that for half the season had the worst offensive line, even worse than our Browns offensive line in the sport, and struggled. Obviously it's only a 1 point. It's a 1 point game for a reason. I'm not finding two here though. I'm not. I would be very surprised if the Packers beat the Eagles.
So we are both not on the bandwagon there. Jake, what's next?
You guys talked about Bill Belichick earlier today, but I want to know if you're on or off this bandwagon. Bill Belichick will coach in the NFL again.
I'm off. All the way off.
Yeah, I'm also off.
I think today was about pwning the NFL teams that didn't want him a month ago, including Tom Brady and the Raiders.
You said pwning?
I did.
What a throwback.
Yeah. I remember those days. I
haven't thought about pony.
Dewey Slopes of 2003, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So that's the first one.
Want to hop on our MySpaces later?
360 no-scope over
there. We can rank our top eight favorite friends, which what a cruel thing that was we did in life.
I don't remember any bad things happening on MySpace, just meeting girls back in the day. So I don't want to do it now. I guess I should preface that. But no, I think Belichick today, I think that report was maybe about Belichick throwing a little egg on the faces of teams that reached out who maybe a month ago rebuffed him. And I think Bill Belichick is committed to coaching in college. I don't think in a year he's going to do it. I don't.
I think he only loses as far as his NFL stature is concerned. I think he's given up on the idea of trying to chase down the all-time wins record because I think he looks at how many wins Andy Reid is making each and every year, and I think he knows he's going to be passed by Andy Reid, and then Andy Reid's going to set the mark and pass Shula. I think if he fails in another spot in the NFL, in a divorce that he's already lost between him and Tom Brady, it'll only look worse. And so I think he's got very, very little to gain. It would have to be the perfect situation, and the perfect situation is never going to call on Bill Belichick.
One more real quick there, Jake.
You have a college football one to throw your way. The solution to the playoff is just adding more teams. We need more than just a 12-team field.
More is better. I'm on the bandwagon.
More is worse. I'm off the bandwagon. It's not good.
Let's get to 24. And then we get to 24.
Yeah.
Then we get to 28.
The thing can end in January of 2026 instead of 2025.
Well, no, you just move it up to the second week of December.
This thing already takes 12 weeks too long as is.
Yeah, because they don't have enough. They're not spacing it out, or they're spacing out the games too far. Yeah, if you have a game every day from, the second week of December till now, or till January 20th, that's how we live.
Gross.
American excess, baby.
Gross.
Are you not a capitalist?
Oh, yeah, this is an anti-capitalist
take. I'm guessing more money's worse. Yeah, more money's worse, huh? Yeah. There, Stalin?
Hey, by the way, the jeez.
Mussolini?
Yeah, because that's better. Let's get better there. The numbers for the bowl games have been... Oh, come on now. You know who I married. We can't even bring that up.
All right, well, that's bandwagons.
I'm off the bandwagon.
Darius, the OKC game, and searching for answers in the wrong game. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. As a brisk walk, I would pay the extra money to be 20 feet away as opposed to whatever this is.
Are you? I feel like you're subtweeting my parking situation right now because I park close to the stadium. So you know what my walk is.
Oh man, I wasn't thinking about that, but oh man,
that's an everyday. Oof. It's an everyday 10-minute walk for myself. And you know what? It saves a little bit of money. It's not about the money at this point for me though. It really isn't. It's about the idea.
It's the pride.
I just don't want to change. I don't know. I'm just so I don't know why. I'm like, you know what, the 10 minutes there and then the 10 minutes back. Some days it's the only exercise I get, Nick.
Yeah, no, it's a good walk, and I just don't want to do it in this weather.
Wait, think about it. That's 20 minutes of walking time that I get every single day. If we add that out for a whole entire week and then we put that out to a whole entire month, like that's not nothing.
So it is why I walk the girls to the bus stop. But now, Livy's bus stop is pretty close, but the twins is like two blocks away. So we get there, and then I'm up for 10 minutes, waiting for the bus, and then I usually extend it. considerably. But like, if that's all I did, hey, we got a little active in the morning, right?
You were moving.
And I stopped the second it went below 30.
See, that's the thing. The cold weather then takes you out of it. When you're forced to, when you park in a garage that's 10 minutes away, you force yourself to then continue to do this.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I got no choice.
Yeah, I would make it a choice at some point. But we got that 7:13 tip tonight.
Did anybody ever end up going? Did they go back into your parking spot or no? I never got an update.
What do you mean?
You had the parking spot situation, mm-hmm. and then you wrote the note.
Yeah,
and then has nothing happened since?
No.
They've stayed out of your spot.
Yep,
100%. So they're acknowledging. Now, I wish you would have got a gift card out of it, but they're acknowledging that they were in the wrong. They were bad. At least they made the adjustments.
You know what I would have loved? I would have loved if like somehow they like came up to me and they're like, "Hey, found it. I'm so sorry." And then I could be like deferential. I'd be like, "No, I understand. It's
no
okay.
Big deal. It happens."
And then like we could have like a pen pal relationship for the rest of our lives,
or at least like you know nod to each other in a high. How's that? You know when you see each other.
Hey, stealing anybody's parking spots these days? Ah, I'm just joshing you. So it's interesting. I heard Lima and Ken talk. The Monoballs talk about Darius, and you know Lima kind of considers this a significant game from the Darius side of things.
Yeah,
because it's a tough matchup. Defensively and offensively, and there's a few other reasons, and I understand it. And I'm real quick. Do you think it is?
Yeah, I thought it was a great point by Lyman, and it's the person I was circling for a couple days now in this matchup. But you know me about Darius. In big games, I question Darius more than I question anybody,
mm-hmm.
and I need to see him in big games. You know, the Boston game that we had to start off the season, the very first Boston game, he melted down. Like, he legitimately, we hadn't seen him play that bad this entire year. This game matters for Darius. And doing it against this defense, by the way, matters in a big way as well.
So I'm curious, because you are the regular season's great, but they have to prove it to me in the playoffs.
Yeah, and part of the playoffs and part of that is the big game mentality that's attached to it. Yes.
So then for Darius, even if he has a good game tonight, why wouldn't we just be, well, okay, you got to prove it in the playoffs. Isn't that going to be the same conversation?
No, you still are. Yeah, you still definitely are. Like, he can't wipe away everything in one game. Like, our buddy G. Bush, for instance, I've had conversations with him about it because he's in the same boat I was in where we used to be big-time Darius supporters, and last year kind of took us off that. And now this year, we both have been critical of Darius, and then you're like, all right. In G. Bush's instance, he was like, hey, my bad, Darius. I apologize. I got on you too soon. I'm not apologizing for anything. Like, Darius, you still have to show me. And in these games is how you chip away at that. You don't erase anything, but you can chip away with that.
So if he just gets 20, so if he has his normal night, 20 points, 38, probably closer to 41% from three, is that enough?
Average against the league's best defense is playing better than average, yes.
Okay, all righty. I mean, I just think, I think big picture, okay, this is absolutely a benchmark game for me. I want to see how they hold up. I want to see how you deal with that size, that intensity. They are physical as well. That's another thing the Cavs have struggled with. And I think in a playoff atmosphere, that's going to bring a lot. It's just when you get to one-on-one matchups or singular players is where I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just for me. Like, I'll be truly, if Darius goes out and drops 30 and he's the reason you win, that's a great win. If I'm still going to be saying, no matter what happens with Darius tonight, I got to see that in the playoffs, then I just don't know I can put this a big game for him more so than anybody else in the Cavs.
All right, who would you put it on then?
Oh, I don't think it's on the Cavs.
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, okay.
From an individual game standpoint, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
And I will agree, though, when the playoffs come, this year specifically, I'm going to need at least one game in each round where it was like Darius had that five-minute stretch. Or honestly, Darius just had that game where he took over the game. Same thing with Donovan. Like, if Darius wants the credit, we talked a lot about this, and you know, Fedor was with us two Fridays ago saying that Darius's camp is worried he's not getting the credit necessary for the Cavs
and
31 and
by
4
the way, today Darius was the one on ESPN on SportsCenter. That was I don't know how they came to the conclusion that Darius was going to be the one speaking, but he was the rep in front of a national primetime game talking about the same thing he's talked about for the previous 2 days about them being overlooked.
I'm going to go ahead and say that if Darius was there, I'm going to go ahead and say the Cavs maybe thought some pretty smart things there of, let's put him on ESPN and that's going to help him feel better.
The last couple days were probably almost an audition of sorts of Darius to be like, all right, this is your rhetoric?
You know
this what? Is what you're going to say? Oh, okay.
And
let's put you out there then.
We're going to continue to try and get Darius for people to realize how great Darius is. So we're going to offer our platform to Darius Garland.
Yeah, how nice of us.
So for the Cavs, if you want to get a little more extra credit for Darius Garland, we're willing to have Darius in studio whenever you want him to. But, I mean, no, I think specific to Darius, like, I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like Darius, of all the players in the last 2 years, has lost more of the sheen off how people think of him. And I think he's just... like I it's interesting that hasn't, like, that the playoff issues have not stopped our opinion of Donovan Mitchell. They've not completely decimated our opinion of Jared, who acquitted himself pretty okay in the Orlando series.
Well, I think we're still hugging Darius, Donovan, and we're still like, we're happy you gave us the extension, and we're gonna, but at some point it's gonna be the same conversation he had in Utah. You got to get past the second round, and that will become a conversation. If we 3 years from now are sitting there and they haven't made it past the second round, it's going to be the same thing that happened to him in Utah.
I just think, should we expect, is this thing built for Darius to be the best player most nights?
I mean, today he said he's one of four All-Stars on the team. And so if you consider yourself to be one of the four All-Stars on the team, you put
Who's
that
the
on
fourth?
Yourself.
Dean Wade?
What do you mean?
Is it Jared Allen?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I love Jared.
Jared's played great.
Played really, really well.
He should be in Defensive Player of the Year consideration, like he was last year. I think
he's not an All-Star.
And his third in the voting in Defensive Player of the Year.
And how many incendiary bigs are there right now? In the Eastern Conference?
You're not wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying if you're going to put yourself in the All-Star category the way that Darius is, then it's not a ridiculous expectation for you to play like one.
216-474-0092. Is tonight a big game for Darius? I see what you guys are saying. I don't know, specific to Darius, this specific game, I don't think it's a benchmark game for Darius, even though I think it's a benchmark game for the Cavaliers. Let's go with Jerry in Cleveland. Jarrett, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to say the core four is important. Yes, Darius and Donovan are important, but I think it's because of the players that you have on the bench that make it easier for them. So they don't have to be exploited as much as they used to be. Because Caris LeVert is 6'6". You've got Ty Jerome, who's 6'5". Your starters don't have to play any more than 30 minutes in a game. And because of that, that's an advantage, and we could keep throwing things at them. Small forward is a problem, but maybe they could overcompensate in other ways.
All right, Jerry, I appreciate you. Here's the thing. I think the Cavs have tried to compensate for small forward, and really that's a gross oversimplification. They've tried to overcompensate for their wings in both the regular season and in the postseason, and it's been exploited every time.
Yeah, it's also really hard, you know, and we'll talk about all sorts of wings to try to trade for the way we did last, you know, this summer, but it's just...
Cam Johnson.
I know. That's your guy. I know that's your guy.
Can I get Herb Jones too? God, I love Herb Jones. Herbie the love bug. No, we're not doing that. It's a great movie with Lindsay Lohan.
I saw it.
That's not more objectable than you being Stalin over there earlier.
Well, and then you went to the H.
No, but I didn't say
you
the full name.
You said the H. Did I misquote you there?
Yeah, it was like I gave him the Voldemort treatment. I didn't say the name. But, Herb Jones.
You're talking about Harambe, clearly.
That's true.
They took, it's their problem to take it any sort of way.
But the funny thing is, I think our, and maybe the Cavs too, I think the ceiling for what you're looking for in the wing is an oversimplification. Like everyone was saying for the Celtics, because the Celtics, two huge wings, and I mean everything you want in superstar players.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a great big situation, and your guards were maybe lacking, at least offensively. So you went out and traded for Jrue Holiday. You went out and traded for Derek White. And those are two guys who are like starter calibers or even maybe just great six men, depending on how you view them at this point in their careers. And they were the perfect fit.
Well, they're the perfect fit. Because
were they better than Marcus Smart and whatever they had previously?
Yes, they were, because they have a clear-cut identity for what they want. This is what I like about this Thunder team, and I'll elaborate. Marcus Smart is not a 3-and-D player. Marcus Smart is a defensive player of the year, but he's not a 3-and-D player. He sucks at 3. And so that's what the Boston said. If you can do 3-and-D, you can be on our team. That's where Drew Holiday and that's where Derek White comes in the equation. That's why they didn't do anything with their offseason roster this year and are running it back the exact same way. At any given point, that's what they have on their roster. Same thing with, like, the Thunder, for instance, today. What you'll see is that even though Caruso's out and even though Holmgren is out, they built a team where everyone on that roster knows how to play top-level defense very, very well. And so, like, that's their – those two teams have their identities of the guys that it's a requirement. You must do this in order to enter the equation.
And that – but you mentioned the identity thing. They got guys who allowed them to lock into this offensive identity that they wanted to be. That, to me, is where the Cavs are.
But it makes it a lot easier to trade, too, when you know what that is, right?
It's easier to trade for guards than it is wings.
For sure. But, like, but you can when you're like, these are my requirements, now I have to boot out anybody that, even though you were good, I have to boot you to the door, and then I have to bring in the guys that fit that requirement and fit that mold. It does make life a little bit easier.
216-474-0092.
But you're right. The Cavs have not. They don't have that.
Yeah.
It's a hodgepodge of talent. It's good talent, but it's a hodgepodge of talent. And they're all trying to kind of piece it together and see what works and see what matchups work. And it's it becomes tough, especially since we've done this 11 men thing where it's like there's so many different guys on any given night.
Well, and I think
so deep.
And I think to specifically where you are, I think that puts you in a great position. You know what you need. And it's, man, I think you are, I don't want to say one piece away. But if you really think Dean Wade is going to hold up in the playoffs and be healthy, which he has not been in his career, then you might be. And I don't want to put it just on Cam Johnson, but that kind of player, 6'8", athletic, can defend, can shoot the three ball to 40% clip. Like, man, that really does feel like the finishing piece there. But the question here is tonight about Darius for you, in case we missed it, to close out the show next on 92.3 The Fan.